Today is the octave of Easter. We celebrate Christmas and Easter both with octaves, 8 days. And you probably recall that Genesis says that God created the world in 6 days and then rested on the seventh, which is the Sabbath rest of the Lord, and that's Saturday. So what does that make Sunday? It's either the eighth day of that week or it's the first day of the next week. And the church has always celebrated as both. It's the last day of the old creation of sin and death, and it's the first day of the eternal new creation of grace. And so Easter and every Sunday really is a kind of a fulcrum between the past and the future, between the old world and the new world, between the first Adam and the new Adam, between the new Eve and the new mother of the church, Mary. Baptisms normally happen on Sundays. And so one of the traditional shapes for baptismal fonts is octagon. And you notice that ours is shaped like an octagon. It has 8 sides to symbolize the eighth day, which is the last day of the old creation. A person going down into the font puts their back to the old creation, steps through the font and faces the new creation in Christ, reborn into the new life in Christ. One of the reasons we always have this gospel story from the Gospel of John on the octave of Easter is because both of those days, Easter and the week after, are mentioned in that gospel reading. The first appearance of Jesus to those disciples in the upper room happens on Easter Sunday, the day of the resurrection itself. And then they're gathered again a week later, and this time Thomas is with them. So what exactly happens in those resurrection appearances in the upper room? One thing is that Jesus says twice, "Peace be with you." He's offering the peace that only God can bring, the reconciliation between God and humanity, between the Creator and His creation, that is brought forth in the very person of Christ. In Jesus, divinity and humanity are at one with one another. In Jesus, God the Creator reconciles with His creatures who had been alienated by sin and death. And so if sin ends, death ends. If alienation and division end, then unity and peace reign. And this all happens in Jesus. But one of the things He's doing in these resurrection appearances is He's giving that authority, giving that reconciliation over to the church. Now, our first reading mentions all the wonderful miracles and the healings that happened in that apostolic period, so much so that Peter became famous. They wanted to at least let his shadow pass over them as he passed by. In all the end of the Gospels after the resurrection, we never see Jesus doing any miracles. The risen Lord does not do any miracles in the New Testament. The church does. Because with the breath of the Spirit, with the renewal of life, the church is now the body of Christ. Christ is in heaven with the Father. The Spirit has breathed new life, risen life, into the church. And that authority, that power, that reconciliation, that peace, it exists in and through the church. And so, in addition to breathing on them and wishing them peace, He says, "Whose sins you forgive shall be forgiven them." So this reconciliation between God and humanity that was in Jesus is now in the church. The authority to forgive sins is now in the church. And remember, in some of the gospel stories, the chief priests and the scribes are so scandalized when Jesus claims that he, a man, can forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins. But they find out later, but he is God. Well, then the church is doing the same thing. The church is scandalizing some by saying that she has the authority on earth to forgive sins. And yet, as Christ's body, as an authority by the breath of the Spirit, that exactly is what happens. I find it interesting that in the words of absolution that is prayed over every penitent, there's one line that says, by the authority of the church, may God grant you pardon and peace. So it's the authority of the church, and it's granting pardon, the forgiveness of sins, but also the peace that only God can give. But the church is the agent of God offering that peace. The church is the sign of reconciliation in the world. And we often fail at that. Sometimes we sin against each other. Sometimes we get divisions in the church. The 2,000-year history of the church is largely about divisions between East and West, between Catholic and Protestant, between Orthodox and Roman. There's been a lot of division, a lot of non-reconciliation. And so this wonderful reconciling, healing, peace-giving agency that the church has, she needs to guard it carefully, and she needs to use it liberally, openly. We need to forget the sins of the past, the divisions, the enmity,